The word of God given to us today, or Acts chapter 13, from verse 14 to 23. It is page 209 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised.'"
For 3 years, I left Korea to serve Geneva Korean Church. It was in September 1998. When I arrived in Korea, I first bought things, and I would need to live alone in Geneva for 3 years. When I stopped by an electronic store to buy a television, I couldn't help feeling a bit of bitter taste in my mouth. Among television sets made by world's leading brand manufacturers, Korean products were relegated to a corner and were traded as among the cheapest ones available. Among them, the prices of Samsung brand products were relatively expensive. It was Samsung's price strategy that they would be paid well for the products made well, but still it was same for them in that they were having a hard time coming up on the leading brands. Returning home after having bought the cheapest among the Korean products, my heart was not at ease. I had personally witnessed the technology gap between the leading Korean electronics company that dominated the domestic market and the world's leading electronic companies. When I went to Paris the following year, I met the head of the Samsung Electronics French subsidiary. He was the person responsible for managing Samsung's operation in France. He said that Samsung Electronics cell phone, AnyCall, had 2% market share in France, and it was the goal to reach third place in European cell phone market within the next 5 years. When I asked him whether that was possible, he said that it was possible without any hesitation. But what he said did not move me at all. His words struck me as a bit absurd in the context of the European market, where Korean electronic goods were being treated poorly. But what is it like now, after nearly 10 years have passed? Samsung TV, which was struggling in Geneva electronics store, has now become the best TV in the world. The original home of the electronic goods, the United States. In the United States, Samsung TV is being sold at the top price. Samsung mobile phone, AnyCall, she only had 2% market share in France 10 years ago, now has 20% global market share, let alone European market, and has become second to Nokia in the global market. And in North America, It has market share of 23.7%, having set aside Nokia to become the market leader. Since some time ago, there is no airport, no city where one cannot see Samsung's billboards. Not to mention Korea, the six continents spanning five oceans are full of people who may not know Korea but who know Samsung. Samsung has become the world's number one electronics company to the extent that last year all of Japanese electronics companies' revenues added together could not reach Samsung Electronics' profits. This is something that someone like me cannot possibly even imagine a mere 10 years ago. Because the past February 12th was the 100th birthday of Chairman Lee Byung-chul, the founder of Samsung Group. There were many features about Chairman Lee Byung-chul, the businessman, by the media. The greatest interest of Chairman Lee was to make the business last. And in order to make such lasting possible, he sought a perfect company. The conditions for a perfect company were three: profit generation, the best quality, and appropriate pricing. In order to make his business sustainable through a perfect company, he made the principle of person first. Person-oriented company, the Iron Rule, that was to ensure that the best company would continue to last by recruiting the best people in the world. It goes without saying that he established corporate system and culture that were unique to Samsung. Without the foundation laid down by Chairman Lee, it is doubtless that today's global Samsung would not exist. I had two thoughts as I encounter various features about Mr. Lee Byung-chul released on the occasion of his 100th birthday. The first was that, similar to the way I cheer for Korean figure skater, the gold medalist, Ms. Kim Yeon-ah, at the Winter Olympics yesterday, I wished Samsung, a Korean company, would last as a model global company that fulfills all of its corporate responsibilities toward the society. The second thought was to compare a company with the church. Church is also to recruit the best with the highest grades among seminary students and to set up a perfect system to form a perfect church and thereby secure the lastingness of the church. Is this true? I thought very deeply several times, but the answer was no. The reason was that the principal agents of a company are people, and so therefore, it is possible for the best people to form the best company through a best system and attempts to make the business last. However, that cannot be applied to the church. The reason is why the principal agents of the church is not people. Today's scripture, which we have been looking for the past 4 weeks, is the introductory part of the sermon that Apostle Paul gave at the Jewish synagogue at Pisidian Antioch. Israel people, the descendants of Abraham, left Egypt and a life of slavery, went through 40 years in the desert, conquered the natives who were living at Canaan, and became the owner of the land. The first king in the history of Israel, the first king was Saul, but his dynasty ended during his lifetime. The second king was David, who was a shepherd from Bethlehem. This was the 1,000 years of history that span from Abraham to David. However, the sermon that Apostle Paul gave regarding such a ruling period of Israel was based on a different perspective altogether. God chose Israelites as his people through Abraham. He made Israel people prosper who were once slaves in Egypt. He led them out from the life of slavery in Egypt with his mighty power. He endured their conduct for 40 years in the desert. He overthrew 7 nations in Canaan who obstructed Israelites. He gave the land to Israel people as inheritance. And God gave the judges for the Israelites. God gave prophets to Israel people. And God gave Saul as a king to Israelites who demanded a king. And God removed him. And God established David dynasty. As said, from Apostle Paul's perspective, the principal agents of the 1,000 years of Israel's history that started with Abraham to the end of the time of the judges was absolutely God. Therefore, during the past 2 weeks, we have thought about the fact that it is God who establishes and brings down a man's life and his family. And it is God who establishes and brings down a nation and his people. Paul's sermon continues as follows. He testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." The Israel people did not request for a savior. God first sent them a savior for them. It was Jesus who came to earth through the lineage of David. One day, Jesus asked his disciple, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." A poor Nazareth carpenter who looked poor was Jesus, and he was the Son of God, whom God has sent to this earth as Messiah. And that was the confession of Peter. Jesus, who received such confession, said as follows, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." The confession of Peter, which was like a rock, was through the confession of Peter, which was like a rock, the Lord declared that it will build his church. And it clarified two facts. First, all the churches in this world are Lord's churches, and the founder of the churches is the Lord himself. A pastor can start a church, and a believer also can start a church. However, in this world, there is nobody who has any authority or ability to start a church. People are only visible instruments, and the real founder is the Trinity God, who uses the people as his instruments. We can learn an important lesson here. If God is the founder of the church and it is the Trinity God, he also can abolish church. Following is the message for Ephesian church and the Laodicean church. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the heights from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. And the following message of God was about Laodicean church. The word says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cool nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. God is the founder of the church, and the abolisher of the church is God as well. Originally, David was the one who wanted to construct the Jerusalem temple, but God didn't allow David to do it. Instead, God led David's son, Solomon, to construct the temple. Solomon did follow the will of God and did his best in constructing the temple with the national power he could exercise. That was the greatest work that is unparalleled, that was unprecedented in the history of Israel. However, the Jerusalem temple was destroyed by Babylonian Empire after 400 years. What was the reason for that? Was it because that God was unable to protect the temple from the attack of Babylonia? It wasn't. God abolished the temple by using Babylonia as his instruments. 70 years later, God allowed Jews to reconstruct the temple. B.C. 70 let Titus, a general of Roman Empire, completely destroy the Jerusalem temple again. Turkey, now a part of Islamic land, is the rich repository of the New Testament. The Church of Antioch that turned out the great Apostle Paul was there. His first and second mission trips were conducted there, and many churches he founded, such as Ephesian Church and Galatian Church, were also there. Moreover, all seven churches Apostle John founded were located there too. But where are all those churches gone? No one knows where the places are. Paul gathered and prayed there together with the people 2,000 years ago. They are all gone without a trace, as cities were perished by natural disasters like earthquakes. The churches Paul founded, such as Philippian Church, Thessalonian Church, and Corinthian Corinthian church were not exceptions. Why? What is the reason? Was God's power daunted by the power of nature that disturbed the whole world? Not at all. God abolished them through natural disasters. Once Pyongyang had so many churches and so many Christians, the Pyongyang, for that reason, was once called Jerusalem of the East because of its innumerable number of churches and believers. Where are they now? Was the power of God not stronger than the power of communists? No, it wasn't. God destroyed them by using communists as his instruments. The whole European continent was full of Christians, wasn't it? But now its churches are empty. Why is it so? Is it because God removed his lampstand from them? If so, we have to think about why God abolishes churches he founded. First, it is because of the fall of people. God commanded Jeremiah to declare to Israelites like this. The words of God said, "Stand at the gates of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, O you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord." This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says: "Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, 'This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.'" Jesus Christ said like this, Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, "It is written, he said to them, 'My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers.'" God consider what priest said as a lie, "Jerusalem temple is the temple of the Lord." He meant that the Jerusalem temple that was looked up by all people was not his temple. He called the Jerusalem temple even a den of robbers. Judaism at that time was a superb organization with a great system composed of Jewish elites. Except the Roman Empire that colonized Israel at that time, there was no other system or organization that could compete with Judaism in Israel. However, such great system or organization was the greatest obstacles in establishing the right relationship between God and people. Judaism absolutely respected its system and even distorted God's words to maintain the temple itself. It was to keep their organization and temple so that they kill Jesus Christ, crucified Jesus Christ on the cross. Therefore, to the eyes of the God, it was not even a temple. It was no better than a den of robbers. and it is natural. The second reason why God abolishes the temples or churches he founded is that he wants to keep his will. And his will, as you know well, is to love people. As you know, there is no original manuscript of Bible. The Bible we have now is based on a copy. If there is original Pentateuch Moses wrote, or letters Paul wrote, what would happen now? The original Bible itself would be idle. The Christians all over the world would not be interested in God's words, since they would be absorbed in idolizing the original books of the Bible, wouldn't they? If the Jerusalem temple had been destroyed, Christians would have neglected their duty of sanctifying themselves as they respected the temple, wouldn't they? If Apostle Paul's Galatian church and Corinthian church still remains, people's minds were occupied with the church itself, the people would neglect the books of Galatians and Corinthians in the New Testaments Paul wrote for their church members. In this respect, we can say that God abolished the visible churches in the Bible to let us realize invisible essence out of his will and love for us. Here, related to church, we learn a very important lesson today. First, with a great number of church members or the grandeur of the chapel, God will be never happy. Prior to its destruction of the Jerusalem temple, the temple was crowded with the Jewish people, but God determined that it was a lie when they said that it was a temple for God. Secondly, like a worldly business, with the best elites and perfect system and organization, it is the first step to obstruct God's history to manage the church in that way. Because the people will be putting system and organization before God's words and using the scripture as a means, like the Jews. The best organized system with the best elites at that time was Judaism, but to the eyes of the God, there were nothing but the robbers who turned the house of God into the den for robbers. Thirdly, the number of church members may decrease any time. As we look back into the history of the biblical times, the number of church members decreased in times of peace and in times of discrimination. However, God renewed the world with a few who remained true Christians to the last. Therefore, it does not guarantee that increased number of the members of the church is the church of God. Lastly, God may destroy the church we see if it is according to His wish. The church at Galatia, Corinthia, or Antioch were not churches established by nameless people. Those churches were established by Paul the Apostle. They were established at the time as God used Apostle Paul as a tool. However, God abolished those churches by destroying the church that we see, the invisible, everlasting truth within them could be preserved. Therefore, that is why religious conflicts about the everlasting truth cause a commotion in Turkey or Corinthia, where the ruins of the first churches are located. Thus, we should know that it is not God's will to keep the permanence like a business. The number of church members in our church have increased year by year since the establishment 4 years and 7 months ago. We have set up our system in which the board committee composed of voluntary leaders and cell group leaders manage the church. We have young, competent, and devoted pastors serving our church, despite the fact that our church does not provide housing unlike other churches. It is our calling to manage and preserve the sanctuary of the Korean church, the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery, and Yongin Murtur Memorial. However, none of these quality as components of a good church. Rather, these components can be obstacles in establishing true relationship with God, so we should not forget that. Someday, God may decrease the number of church members if it is His wish. In order to preserve the truthful spirit of preserving Yanghwajin as the church of Galatia and Corinthia, God may destroy the church that is seen. Things like this are solely determined by God and God only. What is important to us is to establish a true church in ourselves, in front of God. A good church does not mean the best system of a building, but it means a church where each member, one by one, strives to establish a holy church within themselves as they make you the master of our lives. The visible meeting of the people can be fallen, but if you are individual church to establish yourself as a true church, then you never be fallen. Today, the Korean church is beyond criticism and it is being ostracized by the world. It is not new that the church is corrupted. The church is not a building or a system. The church is the gathering of the people who devote themselves to Jesus Christ, the Lord and God. Today, church is not the simple building made of bricks that is merely a chapel, and one and each one of our bodies where the Spirit of God resides in the church. Therefore, today, if we hear the Korean church is corrupted, all of us, including the clergymen like me, have not established a true church within ourselves. We are in the second Sunday of Lent, the season for repent. Let us ask for forgiveness of our sins in destroying the church in Korea. Rather than God's words, we trusted the worldly values more. And rather than God, we trusted our organizational system. And this is something that we have to repent in front of God. Regardless of the building of church itself, let us establish true churches within ourselves as we make you, God of Trinity, the master of our lives, regardless of the number of church members or the size and possession of chapels. Even if we seem insignificant, God will use as a tool in carrying out his plan in history. It is because it is God, the Lord of the church, who is able to establish and destroy the church. Let us pray. We have lamented that the church in Korea is corrupted. However, we have turned our backs to the fact that it is ourselves that have contributed to such corruption by not being able to establish a true church within us. We gave absolute trust to worldly values and not to you, Lord. We have used your words as a means in planning human organizations and systems. As I have lived as such, how can I blame others for criticizing the church as a whole? In this season of repent, the season of Lent, the session of Lenten, I ask for forgiveness on the second Lent Sunday, a season for repent. Please purify us with the holy blood of the cross. You have remained us that the Lord of the church is one and only God, the Trinity. You have taught us that the increase or decrease in the number of church members, the size and ownership of the chapel do not matter in determining how good the church is. We have learned that unless we transform ourselves into honest, truthful churches, our church will not be a good church. You have taught us that you may decrease the number of church members and even close down a church into history if you wish. Please guide us to cultivate ourselves to become true churches as we worship God, the Trinity. Through leading such lives, please renew the churches in Korea, the history of the current times. Please do not make us forget that you are the one who builds and abolishes our families. You are the one who builds nations and destroys them. And that you are the one who builds the churches and abolishes them as well. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.